they're not just coming for bear honey. They're coming for any honey, period.
That was more miserable than pissed off.
Saturdays for the boys.
My ear mattress just popped.
I like, Cole, get your gun. We're in the middle of a bear attack.
It does not, in fact, put the fish in the boat for you, though, I found out.
Big buck. Big buck, Cole. Big buck.
Welcome back to Jumping the String Podcast. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. Cole, it's been a long time, buddy. How we doing? It sounds like you're in typhoon season over there in the Midwest.
We are. It's definitely April showers are going to bring May flowers and hopefully some May gobblers, because it has been raining 4 days straight. It probably have had a 12-hour window of no rain in 4 days. So the river is flowing. The ditches are flowing. It's definitely spring around here. Just wish it would stop raining so I can get out and get some more trail cameras set up for turkey season. How about yourself? How's the weather been out in Montana?
It's been a very mild winter, which has continued into the spring. We're having a very early spring this year, which means early turkey season. Saw a bunch of gobblers flared up today, kicking it off early. Seeing a lot of turkeys, though, so that's always good news. I think a lot of them survived winter just due to the mild conditions throughout winter. So hopefully it makes for a good couple turkey seasons the next few years.
What? That's good. That means probably a good, healthy elk herd, mule deer herd, and some antelope herds then, too, if it wasn't too bad of a winter.
Yeah, my usual elk spot, this one tag used to be, it was only like for half the unit. Now you can use it throughout the whole unit on private land, which I don't know if they've ever done that, but we've had in that particular unit low harvest numbers for the past, I don't know, 3 years or so. So the elk numbers are up, which is good news for us. I guess bad news, because it's a rough last 2 years of elk hunting just due to, no weather moving in. But especially this last year was really rough. But hopefully it's going to pan out a little bit different this fall. Got some new routes planned, some new plans sorted out, or I guess roughly planned out. We'll see how it goes. It seems like every year things flip 180 degrees and I'm doing what I said I wouldn't and not doing what I said I would. So we'll see what happens. Yep. But
I haven't got out shed hunting. I've been out a couple times, haven't found anything, and then I think I found out why is just because we've had such a mild winter. Deer weren't dropping antlers. We just had a buck on trail camera like probably 3 weeks ago, still holding both sides, which is mind-blowing in the middle of March. Usually they've already dropped, relatively early, but I just think with mild winter, they didn't have to shed them as quick. So that was a pretty crazy sight to see.
Yeah, I saw a little 3x3 whitetail buck the other day holding one side, which is pretty late to be hanging on to antlers.
Yeah, because in about a month, though, at least around here, I have had during turkey season, I've had seen nubs come out of bucks. So it's hopefully all the deer around here have shed their antlers and ready to start growing. I want to get a couple food plots planted at the new spot that we got, ghost buck. He has ghosted me. Have had no trail cam photos since last day of season. And I hope I can get him on trail camera when he starts growing.
Yeah, or find one of his sheds. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm going to try. It's supposed to be nice weather. Like I said, it's been pretty shit weather the last 4 days, and I just been busy beforehand, and I'm hoping not this weekend, because this weekend still got crappy weather, but next week is starting to get into the 60s and 70s, so I'm going to try to get out there and get my other trail camera put up that I just bought, trying something new, trying one of those Tacticam reveals. Going to try that out, and then hopefully find some sheds off that guy. He still haunts my dreams. I know probably all our listeners are tired of hearing about him, but man, it's just thinking about that deer. You definitely graced me when you came out here with a awesome seeing that giant buck. I've showed it to a couple people recently, and they're like, that is a giant buck. So I'm really anxious to see what he grows into this year.
Yeah, hopefully get another opportunity at him, just to see him.
Yep.
Or get a little bit of evidence or track on him to see what he's been up to.
Yep, it's going to be nice to be able to hunt that archery season, early archery season. And I got to check where that farm's at. It might be an urban zone. And urban zone starts September 15th. You got to earn a buck, but it'd be awesome to get almost a whole month jump start.
Extra, yeah.
on getting out there, you know, before he starts. If I can get him on his like early fall, summer routes, you know, get him tracked pretty good, it'd be nice to get him down. But at least if not, I can get an early start on, you know, really dialing where he's going to.
Sweet, man.
Yep.
So that reminds me, April 1st was the deadline for putting in for deer permits for the big game season. And I nearly forgot. I kept forgetting. Did it on like the last day. Got my stuff in. So make sure you buy your preference point.
I saw that. I actually had the Hunt and Fool app, and it reminded me. So this weekend I'm going to buy my preference point, because I didn't see it on there when you could buy your regular license. I think it's afterwards, correct?
Yeah, I think it's like, I want to say in July sometime, maybe you have until July. Or
yeah.
It starts in July. I can't remember. You just have to keep an eye on it.
Yep. No, my app reminded me. So reminds me after this, I'm going to check to see if you can buy preference points. So,
and don't forget to put in for your, super tag chances.
Yep. Oh yeah.
If you end up winning, you'll have to tell your wife it's go time. Sorry. But you can't pass up this opportunity.
Yeah, it's like winning the lottery.
And I'll be right there with you, and we'll know right where to go to shoot one of the biggest bulls and the biggest bucks in Montana, whichever one you draw.
Yeah, no, I'd have to be like, sorry, you can be mad at me, but it's like winning a lottery in hunting standpoint.
Ain't never going to happen again if it if you even win it once.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I kind of wish, you know, talking about, you know, drawing for stuff like that, I wish there was places like that in the mid. I know, like, Kansas and stuff like that, you got to buy, you know, it takes a couple years to get a tag, but, like, it'd be cool if, like, around different areas, if we had more public land like you guys had, it'd be cool to, you know, have to put in for a draw for like awesome areas around here to really like boost up some big bucks. That's what I want to talk to you about. It'd be kind of cool to be like, all right, this, you know, there's 4,000, 5,000 acres of this public land, you know, national forest, you know, and it takes you 4 to 5 years to draw it, you know, and they only give out, you know, 4 or 5 tags for 4,000, 5,000 acres. I think that'd be, I think it'd be cool, you know, around here. You know, you'd probably get some really, really booner bucks out of that if you did that.
Yeah, I think I was reading this year, this will be the first year that I think one point won't draw in Montana if you're non-resident.
Yeah. Yeah, which,
that is freaking insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, I had an 85% chance of getting when I went out there, and I did a draw, so I couldn't. I definitely would have been able to get it if this is my first year trying.
Well, I think if we're talking a hunt next year, you should have three then, correct? 3 points.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Should be and safe. Then if Sean comes with, he'll have two. So we because you could still do. Do they change the regs? Anything on going in on as a party?
But yeah, you can go in as a party, and then I can't remember. I think they take the highest person's points. So if you have like a party of four, and someone has 4 points. And it's the same as everyone having 4 points, but I could be wrong on that. But I think that's how it works.
But oh, that'd be nice.
So tell me a little bit about the Hunt and Fool program. I've always been interested in it. How are you using it, and what does it do for you, and is it worth it?
You know, since going to Montana with the CU in 2022, I've always wanted to hunt a lot out west, but that really kicked it off. And I was like, man, I wish that I didn't even know about this app. And I was like, man, I wish there's an app where it'd like show you deadlines and areas to, you know, put your points or what tags in each state. And, I did a couple states for preference points, you know, just to, you know, start it up. Cause you know, some of them are, you know, like Arizona, it's like impossible to draw a elk tag. So, you know, in certain units. So I put like a preference point in that. I think I did moose in Colorado. You can hook it up to, at least with Apple, you can hook it up to your reminders or your calendar, and it will, you know, give you notification. Hey, this is the last day to put in for this state. And then it even notifies you when, you know, the draw odds come out, you know. So that's kind of how I'm using it at the moment. And then I've read some articles on it about hunting. You know, it's got a cost calculator on, you know, going out of state. It also has like a state directory for every state. You know, so you can call them, and if you have any questions.
Oh, cool.
And they even has a hotline, you know, talk to a hunt advisor, you know, this is what I want to do in the next 10 years, you know, and then they kind of can make up a plan for you. Also, they got good giveaways too, and their website for shopping is pretty good too. I've bought a couple things off of there. Yeah, but mostly how I use it is I'm terrible. As you know, I'm terrible at remembering things. So it's really nice to be like, it gives you like a week in advance notice on, hey, you know, Colorado elk, you know, for certain areas deadline is February 10th, just throwing a date out there, you know, so then you can be like, oh, okay. And then it'll notify you on the last day. Hey, this is the deadline, you know? So that's kind of how I've been using it. And then it breaks down, you know, what animals you can hunt each state too. So far I've enjoyed using it, and I'm definitely going to use it more just because it's nice. You know, it's sometimes going on each Game and Fish's website's kind of confusing on, you know, how to apply for different hunts. And, you know, I was texting you like crazy when I was trying to just put in for general,
yeah,
elk and mule deer and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice. It's easy.
Yeah. I've been looking into it. I've probably pulled up their website a dozen times. The only thing that's hanging me up is just the turmoil and explosiveness that it can have. Like, you can have a 10-year plan, and then you could get to year 8 or 7, and you have point creep. You might not draw till 12, 13, 14, if ever. You know, there's some units that every year it was 5 points the year before, and then this year it's 6, the next year it's 7, and it just keeps going up and up with point creep, so that only the people that have, you know, 8 points that year can draw it, or people that have 9 points the following year. So that's what's kind of hanging me up on it, and we see it happen all over the place.
I totally understand that, because I listened to, I think, a podcast called Elk Talk or something like that with Randy Newberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good one.
They were talking about, you know, that type of situation on, you know, some states, you know, are either, you know, if you have 5 points, that's like the max you can have. And if you've been like, if you've been putting in for 10 years, you got 10 points, you've all of a sudden only got like 5 points. Like, just the way that they're, you know, going about this point system now in some places, it's like some people have been putting in, like you said, for 10, 15 years. And then the next year it's like, oh, someone with 5 points could draw the same tag. And it's like, I've been putting in for 15 years for this thing, and now someone that's only been doing 5 years can draw the, you know, has the same odds as me.
Or that kind of, you know, what's happening too is opposite. they cut tags, which is fine if, you know, if the population can't support it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it seems like they have to cut tags more and more. In Montana, they did redistricting, boundary changes. So, like, a honey hole you've been waiting to get for 10 years might have changed now, and then...
And it goes into a general tag?
Yeah, it goes into a general tag, or they make it even harder to get. So, like, you were planning on drawing with 8 points, and then they, you know, did the gerrymandering for the district, and then that herd of elk is in a district that takes 12 or 13 points... You know, and you're like, oh my God. So,
yeah, now you got, you know, 4 more years to try drawing that tag. And then by then they could, you know, then they could change it.
Yeah. It's kind of wild, but I guess, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, we can't change it. You know, if the biologists are going out there and doing their work like they're exposed to, and, you know, or the game and fish has some plan, or they just don't want as many hunters. You know, I thought I heard on that podcast that they were cutting, I think Wyoming was cutting their non-resident tags from, I forget, like 10,000 to like 6,000 or 7,500 or something. It was a pretty drastic decrease in what they were going to give out of state hunters, which, I mean, the locals probably like it, but for us, you know, if, say, like you said, you were having, you know, you had 10 points and you wanted to use them, and then they cut those tags, it's like, well, there goes, you know, probably going to have to wait another year or more.
Yeah. I will say, if you're wanting to hunt Colorado or you got Colorado points, freaking make sure you're cashing them in the next 5 or 10 years. Yeah. With the wolf reintroduction, same thing's going to happen there that happened in Montana and Idaho. I know I've spoke about it before, but it's a good case study of what happens when you introduce wolves. And I've also said before, I like wolves. I want to see wolves. I like seeing them on the landscape. Just let them migrate in naturally so that you don't have a negative effect on your animals. And then Colorado goes full Leroy Jenkins, dumps a pack of wolves, dumps a couple pack of wolves. But so
I think it ended up being 10 wolves or something like that. And then I also have that bill that's trying to go to the state to ban bobcat and mountain lion hunting because they're calling it trophy hunting. So yeah, if you
And now Wyoming's going to have wolves coming in from the south now, as those the wolves are already on the move. I was looking at the GPS data, or the tracking collars. They've already been hauling ass. So, but yeah, like I know I've talked about it before, but the low low zone in Idaho. Make sure I got my number straight here. In the 1980s, more than 16,000 elk, and by 2000 or early 2000s, they had 2,000 elk, and then now they're at about 1,000 or less. Yeah, and it ain't from hunting.
No.
You know, that's going to happen.
They're giving out less tags, and they're still dying, you know.
It was one of the most premier elk hunting areas in the country and decimated in a mere 20 or 25 years. So it's pretty unfortunate. And the sad part is it didn't need to happen. Wolves are coming and migrating all the time out of different states. They could have just let it happen naturally. But people just can't leave it alone.
Montana borders Canada. You know, the border patrol's not patrolling for wolves coming in and out of the, you know, I mean, we got wolves all along the north end of, you know, coming from Canada. You know, they're gonna, you know, with population increases, I mean, I don't know how much Canada's population is increasing, but I mean, you know, wolves just don't, they're gonna go anywhere they want to, you know.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting stat I haven't seen before. Hunter days in 1988 in the low zone, 65,000 hunter days. And then this article's from 2010, and it was 6,600. And I can tell you, as of a couple years ago, having hunted in the low zone, it's less than that. It might be 3,000, because it's... I mean, there's people back in there during hunting season, but not that many people and not that many animals. So, yeah, that's pretty. A lot of bears, a lot of wolves, a lot of lion.
Yeah.
Not a lot of elk or deer. So, yeah, kind of unfortunate. But, yeah. So, that's, I don't know, maybe the 19th spiel on wolves. In our 50 episodes or whatever, but yeah, but yeah, so you know, maybe I'll end up pulling the trigger on hunting fool. I've also thought about focusing efforts on places like New Mexico that they don't have.
Yes,
the points. It's just a random draw.
Yeah, I think I put in for New Mexico too. I try to remember all the ones that I like I said, I did four, just to get some points in. Just, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So, and probably that's the one thing I do want to look into is putting points in for my kids. So if I don't get the draw, at least I can go on a once in a lifetime hunt if one of my kids draws it. And I'm gonna make him go too one of them doesn't want to, and I said you're going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you know, I'm coming to the realization, guys like us, early 30s, and guys in the mid 30s, you know, we're running out of time on figuring out the plan for the states we want to hunt that have, you know, those 15, 20, 25 year projections. Cause if we wait too long, we'll be, you know,
too old to walk up
early mountain. 50s, mid 50s. Sometimes probably by then we'll be pushing 60 with point creep, you know? So our ability to suffer in the mountains, ain't going to be what it used to. So
no, it's,
I, you know, I can tell a difference now from when I was, you know, a teenager and know, oh, in 100%. Early adulthood of like how quickly you could recover. And, you know, I used to be able to sleep on literal rocks and wake up fine.
Yeah.
And now I have to like plump up my air mattress perfectly in order to get a decent night's sleep. Or else I'm or else I'm sore in the morning, and then so yeah, it's you know, we just gotta make sure we get our all of our ducks in the row, because you know, past 35, you know, you're really pushing the limit on your capabilities in your 50s and getting into your 60s on what you're gonna be able to do for planning those, you know, once in a lifetime hunts. Probably, you know, might be the last time you can chase a trophy bull or trophy buck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's especially for people like us that, you know, grew up in the Midwest and, you know, just finally getting a handle on it. Yeah. It takes a lot more to get a handle on hunting out there. And, you know, for us, the best, thank God we have, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and the internet, you know, stuff like that, mm-hmm. to dial and, you know, how to do it. But, you know, back in the day, you know, it took a lot more learning to get out there. We definitely have it easier, but it's still hard. And for us, you know, just getting into being able to afford and being able to go out west hunting, it, you know, our clock is definitely ticking. It's not like if we would have grown up there and our parents big game hunting and, you know, put in points for us when we were kids and, you know, have a better chance of getting tags like that. But yeah, like you said, our clock is running out faster than we think. It's crazy to think, like,
yeah, I mean, it's wild. You think, like, I gotta have this. It's like a financial plan, like,
yeah, it is.
You know, within the next couple years, I gotta have this lined out, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the stock market, like this thing could go, you know, bottom up on us halfway through or even towards the end, and it could be totally changed. I mean, look at Oregon and Washington with the, you know, their hunting stuff.
Exactly.
You know, like Oregon, Washington, California, you know, I worry about those guys' ability to legally hunt, you know, in the next 20 years. So,
yeah. And then that's not even include, it could be a lot more states than that. Like I just said about Colorado, they trying to ban bobcat and mountain lion hunting. That's the first thing they're going to go after. Then if that goes through, you know, they could, but you know, in 20 years, there might not be, you know, big game hunting in some of those states. And then there goes, you know, 20 years of points in some of, if any of those states, you know, lose hunting rights that we just wasted 20 years trying to draw points. And now there's nothing. Like you said, it could go belly up and you just wasted, now you're in your 50s and you're like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, the floor could drop out from under you and you got a pocket full of points and nowhere to spend them. Or you have 20 points in your pocket and you're just left with, you know, going with a unit that only takes 10 and then you just got to burn them all.
But, yeah.
You know, that's the game you play.
It is. It's definitely like the stock market. And that doesn't even include, you know, if you can get out or if you draw a tag, you know, with, you know, kids and, you know, us raising kids now, it's, you know, you've probably definitely seen it last year. It's a little harder to get out than it used to be. And it's only going to get harder if they get into sports and, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, I'll be 31 this year. I could realistically only have, you know, as long as my body can keep up, 35 more hunting seasons, which is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid I'm able to hunt till the day I die, but, you know, you just never know. It's like, holy crap, I could only have 30, you know, or I can, you know, something happened, I only have 10 more hunting seasons left, you know. It's just, it's crazy to think that, you know, some of these draws are, you know, 8+ points, that's eight, you know, 8 years. What, how am I going to be looking in 8 years?
Yeah, you just got to be, you got to be strategic. You got to look at places that are harder to hunt, take longer to hunt. You know, the days of taking a week off for hunting season and being successful they have dwindled in a lot of places, and, you know, probably in the next few years, they'll probably fizzle out as well. You know, it's a bittersweet thing, because, you know, the way I look at it is we need the hunter numbers. And another thing I've said before a handful of times is, you know, when the fight comes to your state and the Annie hunters are knocking on the door, I don't know how many hunters you're going to need to fend them off. But
yeah,
I'd rather have more than is needed.
Yes.
You know, I catch myself all the time being like, dude, just chill out. You're a hunter. They can hunt too, you know, and one day they're going to, you know, might be an ally in a fight to keep a bear season or keep wolf hunting alive, you know. So, you know, I don't know how many hunters we're going to need, but some places it's more than they got now already. So we just need to make sure we keep our wits about us, remain calm, and, you know, just realize we're all in the same fight together. And
just
take a chill pill every now and then.
Yep, and that puts a good point, too, about, you know, if there isn't any legal action in your state about, you know, trying to ban hunting, but there is in other states, you know, if you can, donate some money to, like, Howl Foundation or something like that?
Howl.org.
Yeah, Howl.org, you know, donate some money to that, because, you know, couldn't it be in your state right now, but it could be, and then, you know, people out of state will be donating for you, you know, so we're, like you said, we're in this fight together about trying to keep hunting. So even if it's not your state, you know, do your best to advocate for other states too, because we all need to stay in this together. There's no reason to fight about it. We need to be all in this together, so we can, you know, our kids and our grandkids, you know, get the same opportunities we have, because you never know, you know, by the time I have grandkids, you never know what the situation is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It sucks that people are going after stuff like that, you know, that hunt for thousands and thousands of years.
Yep. Some would say, including me, a natural right to feed yourself how you see fit, you know, to a certain extent. I understand you can't go out, blast 10 deer throughout the year, any time of the year. But I feel like what we have now is very reasonable, you know, and most people have at least the opportunity to go out and get enough wild game for their families.
Yes.
I'd encourage you, if your state doesn't have a right to hunt and fish law, that you would contact your nearest political action committee or governor, senator, whatever, congressman, and, you know, start knocking on some doors and banging on some windows.
Yep, get it pounded in their heads that, because you never know, the fight could be in your state next, and there's a lot of money in animal rights activists.
Oh yeah, it's a booming business if you're in the anti-hunting anti-gun sphere.
Yep.
It's incredible the amount of money you can beg, borrow, and steal from people.
Yep.
In the honor of ending hunting and ending the Second Amendment. So, just craziness.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, I think we'll call that a pod. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
It's good to get dust off the old microphones. I think, folks, we've gone as long as we could, holding off the turkey talk. Season starts in a few weeks. We usually start in like January, but we held off till April this year. So that ends now. Next episode will all be Turkeytopia, everything that comes with turkey hunting. So excited. I had turkeys in my yard today. It's been about 4 years since I had turkeys on my property. I saw probably 50 turkeys today on my ride to work. So that was a pretty good sight to see. So I'm getting pretty pumped.
Yep, I am too. And be on the lookout. We got some guests coming up in the next month. Working Class Bow Hunter is going to be on, which I'm pretty stoked about. I met those guys down at Working
Class Bow Hunter. May 1st is when we're going to film or record it, at least. Cole was gracious enough. So, where'd you meet those guys at?
Like I said, I've been following their podcast for the last year, and you know, in the off season, you know, a lot of states have hunting expos, and they were posted that they were going to be down at the Indiana State Fairgrounds, the Waterfowl Deer and Turkey Expo, and
I was like, oh heck yeah,
I'm going to go down there and talk to those guys. And
yeah, I've listened to them for a while, a lot of episodes. They have some great content.
Oh, great content, and just you listen to it and you listen to them, and you feel like you're in the group, you know, chatting it up, bullshitting.
Exactly. And you feel like you're there with them, and you know, they're just one of the guys.
Yep, exactly. So super cool group of guys when I met them, and I gave them some stickers, and I said I'd like to, you know, talk about podcasting with you guys if you ever, you know, if you're ever free. And they said, of course, just hit us up. And I waited till after show season for them. I hit them up this past week because they went to Illinois, Ohio. I think they went to the Western Expo. I mean, I think they did like 10 or 15 shows. So I waited till after the show season because it was every weekend for about 2 months. You know, that's a lot of time away from your family. So I waited till after that, and they said, oh, of course, man, we'd love to be on. So I'm pretty jacked to talk to those guys and talk about bow hunting and whatever else comes up in the conversations. But yeah, so be ready for that one to drop first week of May, hopefully. I got a couple other guests that I've hit up, so be on the lookout for some more guests. We're gonna try doing, like I said, sorry for the long hiatus and no episodes. Nick was sick. I've been dealing with three crazy kids and life lately, so hopefully we can get some birds on the ground and be able to talk about some hunt stories and bow hunting and whatever else comes up. So be on the lookout.
Heck yeah. And I didn't tell you yet, but I bought a Safari Club bison hunt raffle ticket. It's
oh baby,
and less than 100 tickets were sold. And so got a good opportunity, less than 1 in 100, to
that's pretty good
a bison hunt this year. So that will be, if that happens, I'm gonna need all your camera gear.
Oh yeah,
out here, because that'll be
for sure
really sweet. But yeah, so everybody, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. As always, check us out on YouTube and Instagram at Jumping the String. Now that we finally got an episode out, need to release the winners of the 200 follower drawing for a couple of cool prizes. I actually picked the winners like 2 weeks ago. we haven't gotten around to announcing it because we haven't done the episode. So that'll be coming out here soon. It's all about turkeys. Got some spring bear hunts planned. Probably head back over to Idaho, do some baiting again this year. And we'll have the Montana spring bear season kicking off here in April. And should be a good time for all. So good luck to all you Montana hunters out there getting ready for your bear and turkey seasons. Everybody else in the world that has some spring turkey season opportunities, good luck. Make sure you bust out those turkey calls. Start making your wives angry. The earlier, the better. Just have a good time. Be safe. I see here more and more accidents happening during turkey season. So just make sure you guys are having safe setups, especially on public land. That you're not positioning yourself in a bad spot to take some shrapnel, federal TSS, tungsten rounds.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Man, these shotgun rounds, these things, you know, it ain't your grandpa's 25-year-old, you know, 25-yard turkey hunt no more. You're pushing 80 yards.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. And we'll see you on the next one. Later.
Later.